5, 4, 3.
And we're on.
And we're on. Welcome
5, 4,
That's it. We're in now. Hey, here's the podcast. It's back again.
Welcome. You thought you were rid of us.
Yeah, never. 100 Games and a Funeral is the name of our podcast.
You might be rid of us at the end, if we hold true.
We'll see.
Will they kill themselves? Tune in next week. We're not going to do it. I'm going to live forever.
Yeah, welcome back. We're here again. We played another game. We want to talk about it. But first, there's a giveaway. I'm going to keep telling you and everyone else that listens. It's not next week, but it's coming. There's a giveaway. I promise.
I'm excited for the winner of our giveaway.
Already?
Yeah.
I think it's a solid giveaway. I don't know at what point I should tell people what it is, but if I were like one of the 10 people who are actually going to put in for it, I'd be excited because you got a good chance.
Steve, I hate to tell you. I have something to break to you.
On the podcast, live.
Yep.
You'll hear it here.
Brent called you out. He called you out.
Our one listener.
Our one consistent listener. He is showering again.
That's good.
He wasn't able to shower because this is what he used to shower his once a week.
He's just stopped showering.
He stopped showering.
I'll never shower till they come back.
Last week you said Vinny Barbarella.
Yeah, you know what? Before you get into how Brent called me out for it, I already, after the podcast was over, I'm like, I don't think that was his name, whatever I said it was. But yeah, hit me with the real name.
Vinny Barbarino.
Barbarino, yep. Yeah.
I hate to call you out on the podcast.
No, that's fine.
For an ancient show that neither of us have ever watched.
Yeah, I've actually never seen it.
Also, I edit the show, so whenever I make like a huge gaff, I'm just like, yeah, we don't have to put that in.
Let's cut that out. Then you don't have to call out for anything.
I'm literally the Ministry of Truth.
He's 100% correct. And that did cross my mind after recording. I was like, I don't think that was the correct name. But I got the Vinny right, huh?
Yeah, perfect. Hey, hope you're happy, Vinny. Brent.
I hope you are happy, Brent. I don't even mean that sarcastically. I appreciate it.
Hope your life's going well.
Yeah. It's always been, in my family at least, we're not like, we don't go to like trivia nights at bars, but we all know way too much about TV and characters and stuff. So if ever any of us make a mistake, we're always quick to correct each other.
Wrong.
Not aggressively, but we're happy to correct the others because we know something the other person didn't remember. So that's always exciting.
Nice.
So good job, Brent. How was your work week?
Very long and very short. Long that's in the scheme of possible. The work and short in the way that life is slipping by.
Just sands through the hourglass.
Yep. So didn't see Dune 2, speaking of sand.
Don't know. I also have not seen it. I still got another 11 months before my timer runs out on it. Plenty of time. Is there something you want to see besides Dune 2?
No, not really. I've been thinking about going back through all the James Bond movies.
I tried to do that once. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Would you start at the beginning or just...
I'd start with Doctor No. I think I'd go from there. Someone's like, actually, there's a Peter Newton. No.
It doesn't start with Doctor No. What does it start with, Brent? Let us know.
Brent, do our research for us.
What does Dr. No say in that? The one line? When James Bond is like, are you trying to kill me? Doesn't say. No. Yeah, yeah.
Is that from that movie?
Expect me to talk? Yeah, I think so. No, I expect you to die. That's a good line.
I like how they parody that pretty good in Austin Powers where Dr. Evil's son, Scott, he's like, I'll go in there and shoot him in the head right now. You don't have to put him in like a contraption.
Yeah. Those are good movies too.
Yeah, those are fun.
The old Austin Powers. Did you watch Did you watch something that you meant to watch?
Finished rewatch number 5 of The Sopranos, I guess.
Mm-hmm. We did That's talk good. A little bit about that.
Yeah, just never stop watching the same things.
I mean, when they're like top tier quality content, it's fun to rewatch, I think.
I made an impassioned quote to someone this week. I said, Sopranos are objectively the closest you're going to get. Or, yeah, are like the closest you're going to get to an objective consensus amongst people as the best show. It always seems to top the lists. People seem to really agree on it being the best, I've noticed. Now, I don't know. Obviously, at the core, it is what you prefer, but a whole lot of people Sure. agree it's the best.
Yeah, it ends up in the top handful of shows for people that watch and care about TV, I think.
Yeah.
Unless it's just not your cup of tea. But if you're looking objectively, like at, I don't know, the elements that make TV good, like characters and plot and whatever else you think makes TV good, I think it's got all of it.
It's also got, every time I watch it, it's really got a comedic streak running through it.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's good for that. Like it all, when he chokes that guy, it's so funny.
It juxtaposes like a goofy yeah. thing, like one of those, because the mafia guys are real goofy goobers. Like they're yeah. morons.
They're basically just playing around. They're grown kids. Let's kill them.
Literally, let's just get him.
Yeah.
But then you like have, is it Edie Falco, is how you say her name?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have her turning in just masterclass acting performances.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're just like, oh, Anytime. My gosh, this is so good. So I could go on all day.
Very emotional. We may have to because we don't have a lot to talk about with this game. What else do you like about The Sopranos? are there any Star Wars mentions in Sopranos? I don't think there's a single Star Wars reference.
Ooh, that's a deep dive. I don't know. I'd have to really.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, and I basically have the entire show memorized. So I'm going to say no.
Sopranos fans love quoting The Sopranos.
Ooh, they love it. To other Sopranos fans, to people who've never watched it, doesn't matter. I almost told the lady at the hospital when my daughter was born that she was going to do a wallet biopsy on me.
Ooh.
I think I didn't quite understand what it meant. But it was some lady who came to talk to me about financing and paying when my daughter was just born. And I'm like, chill, I'm not thinking about money right now.
Think about the next 18 years.
Yeah.
How little money I'm going to have.
It's all gone. Let's see. What did I watch or do? It was spring break here. So I had to take a couple of days off as my child needed someone to watch over her. What did we do? Went and visited my parents. So we hung out and swam in a pool because it's sunny where I live.
Mm.
And we played some darts. And what else did we do? Went to Barnes & Noble yesterday. That's always a fun hang for me.
Yeah, I like you just describing retired life.
It's pretty much when I have these days off that I just have to watch my daughter or I've taken a day off for no reason. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. Just need like 20 more years.
Dang. Keep it going. Stick it out.
Well, I started to watch a movie from the year 1983 that this game was from.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to again, envelop myself in it. And it was called Return of the Ninja, I think.
Huh.
And I only made it about 20 minutes in. And I really wanted to watch it. I just ran out of time to do stuff. And it was so... Just the era of ninjas in the 80s, people loved ninjas. Maybe Attack? Dang it, now I can't find it.
I too watched a movie from 1983 this morning.
What did you watch?
Mr. Mom.
Ooh, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
How was that?
I can't remember if I'd ever seen it before. It's good. It got me thinking more than I was hoping it would because it's Detroit is so bad now.
Yeah.
And even then, obviously, the beginnings of that were happening, but not to get all depressed. No. But yeah, it was a good little movie with a classic baby on the dryer scene, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I think I watched that within the past few years. Doesn't it? I mean, obviously the purpose of the movie is to kind of flip the traditional roles of mom and dad. But it doesn't like go heavy into any of that. It's more meant to just be fun and lighthearted.
Yeah, it's fun. It is.
Yeah.
And
what does the mom do for work? She does something important.
Marketing, I think, something like that.
That's important. We should hire her to market our podcast.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, slow week. Sorry. Anyway, speaking of 1983, do you want to get into this week's game?
Oh, yeah, dude. Let's get into this week's game. Okay, what's the game this week?
Star Wars. Use the Force, Luke.
The Force will be with you.
Yep, that's the one. So the year is 1983, and Atari releases Star Wars arcade cabinet in two versions, a stand-up version, which we're all familiar with, and then like an enclosed sit-down version of it.
Huh.
As though you were seated inside an X-Wing.
That's flying. Pretty cool.
Yeah. But before we get into the game, let's fill our brains with all that 1983 has to offer. I sent you that list of top 10 films of 83.
Yeah, that's where I got Mr. Mom from.
Mr. Mom came from that list. It kicked off with Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, which people loved. Some people didn't care for the Ewoks, but, you know, they're fun.
That made so much money.
$247
million. 83. That's crazy.
That's a ton of money. Tootsie, Flashdance, Trading Places, War Games, Octopussy. You could start your James Bond there. Just
that's what made me think about watching James Bond again.
Mm. Staying Alive, Risky Business, Mr. Mom, Vacation, which I think is Lampoon's Vacation.
Mm.
The first one.
Yeah.
Just a good time of movies. Music. Every Breath You Take by The Police. Billie Jean from Michael Jackson. Man, Maneater from Hall & Oates.
Ugh.
Beat It from Michael Jackson. It's just hard to... It's so good. Everything that's good happened already.
Literally. That sucks.
I picked out a bunch of facts from 1983 to really help us time travel. Michael Jackson's Thriller album was number one on the charts for 37 weeks. So you're just surrounded by Michael Jackson constantly for over half a year. Jeez. The video game Mario Brothers was first released as an arcade game by Nintendo in Japan. So the arcade version, not like the home console
Super
Nintendo
Mario
version.
Brothers.
Yeah. The final episode of MASH aired with a record 125 million watchers. The A-Team premiered on NBC, so we lost MASH, we got the A-Team. Sally Ride becomes the first American woman to be launched into space.
Man, even in the 80s, even when something good ended, then they were just like, here's something awesome,
here's
too.
Another good time. Didn't even matter.
The good times roll.
I got some football trivia for you.
Ooh, hit me.
This Bengals quarterback completes 20 consecutive passes in the final game of the season to win his second consecutive NFL passing title. 1983 Bengals quarterback.
Ken Anderson?
You got it.
Hey,
the Bengals trivia king. Let's see. John Elway was drafted that year by the Baltimore Colts.
Very nice.
Do you know him, John Elway?
The Super Bowl winning Broncos.
Yeah.
Quarterback. Yes.
Your NFL knowledge is unsurpassed. Roy DeMeo of Organized DeMeo Crime Family.
Oh, the DeMeo
dead
crime
in his,
family.
Yeah.
And
dead
his
in his card trunk. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get my mafia knowledge in there.
You're good. I didn't know that you had a stab at that one.
Oh, yeah. There's a, I'm, yeah. I don't know if I ever sent it to you. There's a video of the DeMeo family having like a barbecue in their backyard, and it's just the Sopranos.
Oh, really?
I'll send it to you after this. Yeah, you're gonna love it.
A true Don doesn't wear shorts. They passed a new law in the UK requiring drivers and front seat passengers to wear seatbelts in an effort to reduce driving deaths.
Very good.
1983. Didn't have to wear seatbelts before. The average monthly rent was $335. And you were pulling up to the pump and paying 96 cents per gallon of gas.
That rent is wild.
$335. I suppose percentage-wise, it was probably still close to what you were making comparatively.
Yeah. Let's get into that.
Probably a little less. So housing prices. Yeah, so now we're there. We're in 1983. You've got your 1983 clothes on. You walk into the arcade. Atari released this game in 83. You know Atari, right?
Yeah.
They also put out Pong in 1972, Asteroids in 1979, Missile Command in 1980, Centipede in 1982, and then, of course, went on to make a home console to keep being relevant. They're the ones responsible for E.T., the Atari game.
Huh.
Do you know the tale of E.T., the Atari game?
The one that got dumped into landfills?
Yeah, it sucked and no one bought it, so they dumped it. There was a cool fun fact about Atari. Under the lead of Bushnell, which is one of the guys that led them, they gained a reputation for relaxed employee policies in areas such as formal hours and dress codes, and company-sponsored recreational activities involving alcohol, marijuana, and hot tubs. Those Atari parties were legendary, I guess.
That's sick.
They originally developed this game in 81, started developing it under the title Warp Speed, under Ed Rotberg. Huh. Good old Ed. He had worked on a previous vector-based game. So that's what they're calling this style of game, vector-based, yeah, with all the lines, called, yeah, Battlezone. Rotberg left in October of 81, after which Atari signed a licensing agreement with Lucasfilm and finished the game.
Huh.
So we might have just got another vector game, but then they got the Star Wars license. The game was Atari's top-selling 1983 arcade release. Do you want to guess how many they produced? This is number of arcade units. This is going to be tough.
13,000?
Whoa. Did you just guess that?
Yeah.
12,695.
Oh, Prince Paul, successful. I've done it. I've done it, everyone.
Edit in like a bell dinging sound. Ding, 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 ding.
I have you now.
You got it. That's really solid. I'm impressed. I would have had no idea.
Oh, my day is going better now.
Can we just cancel the podcast?
Yeah, honestly, we're done. All right, see you later.
Thanks for listening. We'll get you never. This is it, the end of the podcast.
We're keeping the giveaway.
No one gets it. Yeah, impressive. 12,695 total units. Real close to 13. In the U.S., it topped the Play Meter arcade charts for street locations in October of 83. So very popular. Everyone was playing it. In Japan, Game Machine listed Star Wars on their November 1 issue as being the most successful upright and or cockpit arcade unit of the month.
Those of the month ones always get me.
Well, there were a lot of companies trying to make money on arcade games, so they gotta keep checking them out each month and see what's ready to play.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's about all the fun facts I could dig up. There's not a lot about this game, unfortunately.
That's all right. They don't all have to be hour-long bangers. They could be half-hour-long soft bangers.
Yeah. I don't
love
my really flaccid bangers.
I don't know. I mean, definitely no flaccid here. I got 13,000. Oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
I literally put my hands in the air like I just scored the
game. Oh, you did. Yeah, you've just been swinging away for weeks. You got close a few times. This is the closest you've ever been. Pretty much nailing it.
You know, I'm ready to talk about the game a little bit.
Okay, we can get into the game. That's all my fun facts.
So, my favorite part of this game is the voice acting.
Good try, Danny Boy.
Yeah.
it's so, I don't know how much, if you played it, if you watched it, I was able to play it in browser. So that was my
story. I watched a lengthy playthrough of about 15 minutes worth of the game.
That's all there is.
Well, after 3 minutes, it was the same, pretty much the same thing. Repeat it for 12 more minutes.
Yeah, there's like three difficulties. There's easy, medium, hard. And just the first one, you like fight some TIE fighters. And a voice goes, "Burr, yeah, burr," and you're like, what'd you say?
I honestly, the one I watched started out with silence. And the first thing I heard was a Ben Kenobi voice, and it scared me. I was startled. It's a bit like, it's early technology of like Stephen Hawking's voice synthesizer.
It sounds like a person just at like, you know, 8-bit essentially.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I did look into that, and it's called speech synthesization.
Okay.
And it was a big part of computering at the time, them trying to figure that out, like AI voices. So I think that's probably one of the things of this game that was like blowing people's minds.
I can see that because a lot of these games have no voice in them, and suddenly you're getting voice.
Yeah, there was, I mean, I don't know all the arcade games at the time, but if I'm just looking at the other ones like Centipede or Pong, you know, no one's going, "Great shot." What do you say?
R2 trying to create the power.
Luke, trust me.
Yeah, so these are, I mean, comparatively very clear and concise word synthesizations. See, I mean, I recorded some and sent them to you. So hopefully you can put in a couple in the podcast and the listener can hear like how crazy these are.
Oh, they're coming through.
But I think they use actual lines from the movie. They had the licensing and it sounds like the characters. Now, I don't know in browser which version you played. Was it like the home console version or like a computer version?
That I don't know. I mean,
because the arcade was kind of clear. Like I could definitely tell what they were saying, but it just sounded as though it were 8 bits of information.
It was clear. It was clear enough to be, okay, to be legible. I don't know which version legible. It was, though, to be on.
To be audibly legible.
Audibly legible. To be heard.
Yeah. The one I watched did not have a difficulty selection either. So I'm wondering if maybe you played like a home version.
Well, it's on that first screen. There's three worlds and you click on which world you want to go to. And those are the difficult, or like three Death Stars, not worlds. And you hit which one you want to go to. And that increases the difficulty. So the first one, you just fight some TIE fighters, shoot some red squares. And then
those are their Death missiles. Star. Yeah.
And then the second one, there's more TIE fighters. Maybe there's towers.
My TIE fighters?
Yeah. There's more TIE fighters. You're just deep kicking the X-Wing.
So I didn't mean to derail you entirely, but what was phase two? So you TIE fight, dog fight, TIE fighters.
Maybe the towers?
Yeah, you're kind of flying over the surface of the Death Star, and there's towers.
Yeah.
Do they shoot at you? I think they do.
Yeah.
They're supposed to, like, blow the tops off the towers.
Rainbows?
Yeah. They tried. I mean, they're just using lines. The graphics are just lines, which I guess all graphics are. But there's nothing that's filled in. There's colored lines. Apparently, they didn't have the technology to fill in any of these shapes they've created. So these blasters that are coming at you are kind of like almost like a firework explosion of lines, and they float through the air. You can shoot those blasts that are coming towards you.
You got to blast them or you die.
Yeah. You do have shields. I think you start with 6 hits. You can take 6 hits, which you may need all for that final phase. What was the final phase?
It's blowing up the Death Star. It's running down the trench.
Just like the movie.
Just like the movie. And if you're playing that in 1983, you're literally just...
Yeah. Star Wars, I wasn't old enough, which I regret. I was two in 1983. Had I been able to be born earlier, I would have.
Obviously.
Alas, I had no say in it. But Star Wars was huge. If you were a kid and Star Wars was happening, that must have been all you talked about, all you wanted to buy at the store. That was it. So you're actually flying an X-Wing through the trench of the Death Star in Phase 3. Did you make it to the hatch that you have to fire a torpedo into?
Yeah, on the first and second, like easy and medium, yes. On hard, no. You have to blow it under the towers.
Yeah, you do get shot at quite a bit in the trench. And there's also like obstacles you must dodge.
Yeah. It's like beams of light stretching across the trench.
Beams of light?
Well, I'm guessing they were supposed to be something else, but in the game, they're just like a beam of light. Although in the Star Wars universe, that could be a beam of light could be extremely dangerous.
That is absolutely true. I think they're meant to be like obstacles, like a physical barrier. The one I watched, it was clear they were shapes stretching across the width of the trench, and the person playing was going over or under them as best they could.
Most definitely, that is what it is.
So you're dodging obstacles and projectiles. And then did you make it to the moment in which you shoot the torpedoes?
Yep. You blow it
and
up.
And you blew up the Death Star?
Yep.
Look at you.
I mean, the first one's really easy. I promise you. It's totally doable.
Did that feel good? Was there a moment of triumph?
No.
I felt bad. All those people on the Death Star.
Yeah, honestly, we always forget. Like, the Death Star is full of definitely like working class people that are just forced to work under the Empire, and you're a crazed suicide bomber.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
with like the Titanic going down. Well, and that's pretty much the game.
Yeah. Well, what would you rate this game?
Are you wrapping up? We're wrapping up. I have a few more, notes on it.
No, hit me.
Okay. So I do think it's important to remember that the other arcade games sharing the arcade at the time were like Pole Position, an F1 racing game.
Okay, yeah.
Centipede, which is a single screen where you're just moving a little thing at the bottom and firing at a speedy centipede. And Donkey Kong, which again, single screen, you're just jumping over obstacles and climbing ladders.
Right, and this is putting you in the first-person perspective of a pilot of an X-Wing.
Yeah. So, you know, mind-blowing factor of it has got to be high.
Yeah.
And then the physical control of it, I remember I have played this game as a younger person, so I know what it's like to play it. But the physical unit that your hands are touching is like a small box with two rectangles on the side of it. So it's like a yoke of a ship is what they've tried to do.
Ah, so you really feel like you're in it.
Yeah, you can rotate that box to the left and right, and that turns you left and right. The yaw, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that's the correct
one. Yaw.
Yaw, and then the handles on the left and right of the box can be pitched forward and backwards, and that's your up and down. So it feels like you're piloting something.
How do you shoot?
It's got four buttons, two triggers on your fingers, and then two thumb buttons on the top of what you're controlling on the side.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and the four buttons they fire from each of the four different turrets on the screen of your X-Wing.
I'm going to look this up.
So you're just blasting away. Your fingers are firing.
This does look very cool.
Yeah. Any of the sound clips I sent you, and hopefully some of them made it into the podcast without getting stricken, there's constant firing by whoever's playing. I try to just get the music or the sounds, but there's constant firing because that's all you're doing, just blasting away. So there was like some cool physical elements to the game, controlling it. That's the only additional note I had.
I'm really looking at this. The like sit-in system looks awesome as well.
Yeah.
It's got Darth Vader on the side. Wow, wow, yeah. Wow.
Good art on the arcade boxes, the cabinets. I did have some notes on the high score runs. There's some crazy world records for this.
All right, give them to me.
In 1984, Robert Mrzycek scored 300 million points in 49 hours of gameplay.
What the? He just
world record.
He's marathoned this game for 49 hours?
2 full days and 1 more hour. 300 million points. In 2005, which feels less impressive, but Brandon Erickson set a world endurance record of 54 hours on a single credit, but only scored 283 million points. So did he really win?
Was he play? He must have figured out a methodology to just play cowardly.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's optimized his gameplay, as we do in this day and age.
I might beat that.
54 hours?
I might go for 55.
Just devote my life to a 1983 arcade game. In June of 1985, a team of 3, Flavio Tozzi, Dave Roberts, and Mike Oren, played as a team in turns for 5 days, 2 hours, and 26 minutes on a single credit to get the world record score of 1,012 points.
Imagine you're the guy, it's like your shift, day 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, you don't pay attention, you just get blown.
Just unplug the machine and be like, guys, I don't know what happened. I was playing, I was using the force, and just shut off. I don't know.
Oh, man, I would want to fight that guy.
Yeah, I'm sure they were very focused. It was 1985. They probably didn't have a lot going on.
They're probably the coolest guys in town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the guy who scored 1 billion points on Star Wars.
Actually, never mind. That's definitely the guy that gets bullied.
All 3 of those guys. Sorry. I think it's impressive, but. And then the last things I'll mention, they did, you know, like those arcade 1-Up machines they sell at like Walmart?
Yes.
They're like 3/4 scales of the arcade cabinets. They did release this game. You can pick one up for $600 if you love this game. Or you just want to try it and you got an extra $600 lying around?
Would my endurance record count on that?
I don't see why not, unless the emulation of the game has changed something in its gameplay.
So should I probably video myself doing it?
You'd need to video yourself as to verify its veracity.
All right. Well, I'm going to spend $600.
Okay.
And, yeah.
I'm not helping you with that cost.
No, that's fine. Okay. This is a personal pursuit.
All right. You could also buy an original cabinet. There's a few kicking around. I found one on vintagearcade.net. They're not a sponsor, but that's where I found it. You could pick it up for $6,000. So if you really want to make sure your record is valid, that's probably the route you want to go.
Maybe
you sell your car?
Yeah, you know what? If I sell everything I own, I'll make enough quarters to probably last me and that game system for like 5 years.
At least. But if you own the machine, you can alter the quarter thing. You just leave that whole box open and you just flick the little quarter counter. You get infinite credits.
Okay.
Or just leave it open and run the same quarter through. So you just need the upfront 6,000 and 1/4 and then you're good.
I got the $6,000, but
I'm a little shy on the rest.
You can spot me.
Yeah. So that's all of my notes. This game, I remember playing it, and it even when I played it, which must have been like, I don't know, 1989 or 90-ish, was still kind of cool. And I have spent quarters on this game.
I acknowledge it's likelihood of being really good in its day, and I didn't hate it. I wasn't like wee, but I also was like, all right, cool, nice. I blew it up.
It doesn't take a lot to see all this game has to offer. I think it's one of those on our list that is probably like influential. And had I been 12 at the time, this would hold a greater spot in my heart. But, you know, yeah. I was two.
What, now that we've gotten through this grand game of the 80s.
Yeah, Star Wars.
What do we got next week?
Next week we have a prequel, not a prequel because it just came first, of a game we've already played, but it's going to be Civilization 1.
Ooh.
So remember how much we liked Civ 4 or 6 did we play? It was 4.
4.
Now we get to play the original version of that game.
An even more confusing, most likely.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, no.
Can't wait to watch someone else play this one. I'll give it my best shot.
Do I own it? Let's see here. Let's go and look.
I'm going to guess yes.
Nope, just 3. Yeah, I only have up to 3, so I guess
up
we're going to...
2, 3?
Yeah, or no, I only have 3, 4, 5, and 6, so no.
Oh, starting at 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when this game was. I haven't touched it yet, but we'll get into this one and talk about it next week.
You know what, listener? Thank you so much for being here.
Are you yawning on our own podcast?
Yep.
Oh, damn. Oh, good way to end it. Yeah. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for downloading, listening. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, listener.
Go get some sleep.
I'm totally awake. I'm totally awake. I was just thinking about Civilization.
Oh, okay.
I started looking through all the expansion packs for Civ, and I was like, and I just yawned. Oh.
All right, that's fair.
All right. Thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.